Guys.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And good Saturday morning. Welcome to a hot, muggy July Gulf Coast Saturday morning. Glad to have you with us. Got lots to talk about this morning. Glad you decided to tune us in before your little trip to the great outdoors. Want to wish good luck to the contestants in the Blue Boot Rodeo taking place down out of the Grand Isle Marina this weekend. Got some details for that event and also some other rodeos. It is definitely rodeo season in Louisiana. Well, the Louisiana red snapper season reopened yesterday, but when it did, it was under some different dates. We'll run down those for you, and also we'll recap the highlights of this Thursday's Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission meeting. They gave reports on the Louisiana turkey population, and also want to let you know how much of your money is going out of state through Ducks Unlimited and Delta Waterfowl, and the more important question, is it coming back to you as a Louisiana duck hunter? And after a little research, as promised, I'm going to answer a question that came last week's show regarding kayakers. All paddlers, stand by for that. This week, bad boys of the outdoors are a Texas trio. They were cited by Department of Wildlife and Fisheries enforcement agents. It was the result of a tip lead and some incriminating video footage. We'll have that story coming up for you. Also going to take a little sneak preview of what's coming up this summer on Bayou Wild TV. If you had a chance to watch our program this morning, early this morning, it airs on some of our stations. DJ Rhett, the indomitable DJ Rhett on an alligator hunt. You know, nothing good can come out of at least it's going to be an extremely humorous trip with DJ Rhett catching alligators. Well, if you happen to have a successful fishing trip this week, we'd like to include the information along with your comments, your questions, to join the reports of our professional captains and marina operators. You can do that by texting your message real time, comes right here to the studio, 504-260-1870. That number again is 504-260-1870. Taking a look at your coastal marine forecast. Northwest and southerly winds, kind of a shifting wind, but very light, only 5 knots, about 1 foot offshore. That is great news for the rodeos with offshore categories. On the interior lakes and bays, a westerly start, but becoming southerly. Still light, 5 knots, some smooth conditions. Tomorrow, pretty much the same report. And the average tide, well, we had some neap tides this week, which were very slack, but it's starting to pick up. Got about a half a foot average tide range. Could be a little more, could be a little less in your area. But despite that, And despite some big pop-up storms and water spouts, the fishing was off the charts saltwater-wise this week. We'll get those reports coming up for you. Got about a 30% chance of rain, and when you do get caught in it this time of the year, it's usually a deluge, but doesn't usually last very long and kind of cools things off. The old muddy Mississippi is sitting at 4.9. Tendency is to continue to rise. We'll talk more about that and its impact to the fishing here in Louisiana. Well, our lineup looks like this. We're going to talk to Robbie Campo coming up just a few minutes. He's down at Campo's Marina in Shell Beach. Had some beautiful pictures of some big speckled trout that came in. He'll tell you when, where, and how those were caught this week. Also, we're going to be chatting with Darryl Carpenter. Also, some big fish, surprisingly good-sized fish, coming in from the Grand Isle area. Mike Gallo's got a report. He's got an appearance coming up this week where you can get out and meet him on a fishing seminar. And for you paddlers, Brendan Bayard will join us to talk about that. And for fishing down the tip of the boot down in Plaquemines Parish, Ryan Lambert will join us. He's our plastic man, and he's got a report for you. It's a full 2 hours of the stuff you and I love to talk about. We've been doing it each and every Saturday morning. In 2 weeks, we'll be celebrating 35 years of doing it. Where has the time gone? Stick around, get you another cup of coffee, relax, or get in the truck and head to the boat launch, because you're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, we're going to have Robbie Campo joining us momentarily. Had some good reports coming in. He sent me some really nice pictures of some of those big trout that typically you catch. Probably came from the Sound or out there near the end of the rocks, deeper water. I know interior marsh fishing in those shallow ponds right now. You're wasting your time on speckled trout. Now, redfish, a different story, but specks, they got to seek that cooler water when it gets so hot like it is right now. And if you're able to, if the weather allows you to get out there, you're going to be able to get a hold of some of those big trout. And that was not the only place that they were coming in down from Shell Beach, but certainly one of the good places. We're also going to be talking to Darryl Carpenter. He had experienced the same thing. He caught some big trout. He said you had to kind of weed through those 13 to 15 inches trout, but he said it, you know, it's been really good down there, and we'll talk to him a little bit later on. The fishing down there by Robbie and Breton Sound, they were fishing east and west of the Mr. Go all the way out to the Chandelier Islands, and he saw a lot of good fish come in this week. Trout fishing on the inside, as I mentioned, really slow for trout, but a few redfish around there. Robbie did caution me to remind all the listeners, they're down to one bait boat until Monday. So that means the availability of live shrimp, if you're headed down that way, could be a problem. So I suggest you call down there, call Robbie first, and if he doesn't have them, maybe one of the other bait shops that's further up the road. Because once you get to Campo's Marina, you're at the launch. There's no other places you're going to find live shrimp. And we do have Robbie joining us now on a busy Saturday morning. Robbie, as I was telling the listeners, the fishing has really been good down there. But tell us where those big speckled trout are coming from and how were they caught. I'm thinking probably on the sliding cork.
Don, you talking to me? This phone is kind of messing up on me here. We on?
Yes, we are. Go ahead.
All right. Okay. Well, all right. I know we've been having some trouble for the last couple of weeks, but I tell you, Don, yesterday was just an exciting. Well, this whole past week has been an exciting week out here in Breton Sound. You can't ask for better fishing if you were fly. I had people catch fish on the islands fly fishing and limit out with speckled trout. It's just been a phenomenal week. The east and west of the channel, you know, in the Margot Channel out there and by Central Field and by the five well rigs, I mean, it's just been phenomenal fishing. You know, you just can't ask for any better. I don't know why these trout turned on like they did, because it was for a while there, but I know it was a lot of weather-related deal. But, yes, the slide cork has been making a difference. A lot of people don't like to use it. They don't know how to use it. But I tell you, Don, it has made a big difference in the catches of fish out here and seeing what's coming in, what's put on the table.
Robbie, you know, I was looking at the tides this week, and it was almost a neap tide, and I'm thinking, man, you know, we got some pretty flat seas, and the conditions are okay, but without any tide, it's a shame because I think the fishing's going to be off, but I was wrong. And you know what I'm thinking? Do you think, you know what happens when tropical storms, depressions, and hurricanes come in the Gulf? it usually stimulates the fishing behind them. And Beryl was a long way from us, but we did get some residual rain and a little bit of breeze from it. So I'm thinking maybe it affected the fishing here.
You know, Don, it's not, you know, I know we don't like to see tropical systems come into the Gulf and, you know, just for the sake of, we got to pick up everything and move everything and, you know, high waters around here because, you know, tide comes up so high so fast now around this place. You know, it ain't even funny. So, but it does make the fishing better on the tail end of it. And that could have been what was going on, Don. But, you know, I tell you, redfish kind of slowed down around here in the inside a little bit because they were catching the heck out of redfish up in Lake Bourne and up in the Biloxi Marsh and even on the south side of the channel behind the Delaco area. But that has kind of like tapered off a little bit. But when this trout fishing turned on, it looked like everybody just, you know, everybody wants to catch trout to start with. So, and that looked like that turned on. So, I mean, things are just happening and I'm glad it did because, you know, we're all sitting here twiddling our thumbs like, where's the trout? But the trout were there. I just don't know why they weren't biting. I couldn't figure it out. But, you know, it could have been the little tail end of this, residual off this tropical storm that made things happen, Don. I don't know. But I tell you, Don, you know, everybody's to look, and here we go again. You know, we're in July, so we're in transitioning from brown shrimp to white shrimp. There's another thing I need to tell people about. You're in transition from brown shrimp to white shrimp. And everywhere you go, you're going to have small live shrimp, okay? Don't hate the bait catcher because the shrimp are small. It's just what's out there. I mean, we're trying to do the best we can. Bait's been small. It's got smaller over the last couple of days, Don. The nice brownies kind of went out. And, you know, brown shrimp and white shrimp don't mix. So the brown shrimp are going out. If you're coming down here this morning, we only got one boat working because the other guy's on vacation. So if you're coming down here and you're going to be a little bit later, stop and get, you know, make phone calls for live bait this morning, whether it be at Paris Road, Bait Inc., or by Tony Cucci. And if you're coming in on 510, stop and get some because we're going to be out. This place is hopping this weekend. We got two different rodeos going on this weekend. Not here, but we got two different rodeos going on down here this weekend, and this place is packed. So a lot of people at their camps. Make phone calls, people, I'm telling you, because I don't want you to get here and, oh, you don't have none. Oh, my God. But that is what's going to happen if you don't make phone calls this morning.
I tell you what would be nice would be a mess of live croakers right now for this time of year if you can get them, you know.
yeah, right. Talk about. We had some earlier this morning. Man, those things went like popcorn. I'm telling you, they were just going. they flew off the – They flew out the tank so quick, man, you didn't even – I'm telling you. And look, Don, and the deal is you catch 1,000 to keep 300 or 400. Right. The water quality here just isn't good enough to do that. But, you know, Don, and one other thing, I got to give a shout-out to a lady who wakes up every Saturday morning to listen to us on his radio, and that's Miss Sylvia Giovingo. She gets up every Saturday morning and listens to us, and I know she'd be surprised to hear me say this. But thank you, Ms. Silver, for doing that. And I was waiting for these phone lines to get fixed again so I could tell her that.
Well, Sylvia, thank you for being a loyal listener. We really appreciate it, and a good morning to you. Robbie, thanks for that good report. And when you run out of bait, shoot me a text, and I'll pass it along for people coming down a little later.
I will. I'll keep you notified. All right, buddy. All right, bye-bye.
Thank you. Robbie Campo, Campo's Marina in Shell Beach. All right, we got some good text messages coming in. I'll address those. Also tell you about the Blue Boot Rodeo and an opportunity to get the kids a free life jacket today. Today only. We'll tell you how to do it when we come back right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, a couple things I wanted to get to early here. The red snapper season for Louisiana was temporarily closed and has reopened now. It reopened yesterday, but it's opening up under different circumstances. When we opened the season up back in April on the 15th, what happened was we had a 7-day-a-week season. That has now reverted back to what we've experienced in previous years. It's 3-day weekends, Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays. Now, there's one exception. The weekend of Labor Day, it will also be open on that Monday, so it'll be a four-day weekend. But other than that, it's only Friday, Saturdays, and Sunday to keep Red Snapper, and that will continue to be that way until the harvest quota numbers come in and say that we have reached the total quota, which here in Louisiana was over 900 million pounds this year. Again, the limit remains the same. It's four per person, and it's 16-inch minimum size on the Red Snapper. So go get you some snappers. All right, the Blue Boot Rodeo. This is taking place this weekend at the Grand Isle Marina. It's a really wonderful event. It's the brainstorm and the formation of the Blue Boot Foundation, founded by Darby and Nicole Bourgeois. You may recall we talked to them last year on the radio about why they started this rodeo. They lost their young son in a tragic drowning accident. And from that time on, have pledged to create more awareness about water safety, especially with kids. They've started this Blue Boot Rodeo, which has been nothing short of a phenomenal success. It's grown to one of the bigger rodeos across the state. Got all the different categories. And today only, they've got a really special event that's going to go on. And this provides free life jackets, also known as PFDs, personal flotation devices, for kids from any age 12 and under. If they show up at the Blue Boot Rodeo, they get them a free life jacket. Now, here's another aspect of this. If you've already gotten a PFD for your kid, and you know how fast kids grow, yeah, when it gets time to go back to school shopping, you know what I'm talking about. Well, if you're a previous recipient, you bring your old life jacket and you exchange it for a bigger size. Now, how about that? You can't beat that. That's going to be at the Grand Isle Marina today between noon and 5 p.m. It's all part of the Children's Water Safety Awareness. So congratulations to Darby and Nicole for putting that rodeo together. Also, a little sideline, a couple of the LSU baseball players have gotten involved, Tommy Tank White and Alex Malazzo, the catcher, and our producer, director for Bayou Wild TV was down there with them last week, and I think he's down there with them this week, and they're going to be filming an episode of Bayou Wild TV and talking about their baseball careers and also their involvement with the Blue Boot Rodeo. It's very generous of them to give their time to go down there and get involved with that. All right, text messages, we get them at 504-260-1870. Here's a good one. This one's wanting to know the best depth and presentation to fish for mangrove snappers. Now, this is I see it's from an Alabama number, so I'm not sure what type of structure or where you're fishing. Where there's oil structures, rigs, like in Louisiana, that's going to be the number one target. Probably off the Alabama coast, you're probably fishing wrecks or shell bottoms. If there's any type of structure, in fact, you've got much saltier water closer in, so maybe perhaps the fishing piers will also hold some mangrove snappers. As far as depth and presentation, you're going to want to use cut bait or live bait. Live croakers are perfect. You can use live shrimp, but you've got to use a low visibility line. Mangrove snappers are one of the finickiest, sharpest fish to catch. They're very tricky, and they can see line. They see hooks. Bury your hook in the bait where they can't see it. And as far as depth, you don't use any weights. Unlike red snapper, which generally are going to be in the lower part of the water column, snappers could be anywhere along the structure from top to bottom. And the way I like to fish them is if you're using a spinning reel, which is my preferred type, you open the bail, throw it out there, just basically a leader and a hook with the low-vis line, and throw it out there and let it sink. And just let it keep sinking and sinking, and eventually those fish are going to get into the strike zone. You're going to find them. And one of the techniques, the problem when you're fishing, or if you're fishing around rigs, is they wrap the line around the rigs and they break it off. They're very good at that. For the first few seconds, they're very powerful fish. The technique is, if you're fishing on the bow of the boat and you're tied up to a rig or structure, run to the back of the boat while you close your bail. And don't even start reeling. Just drag the fish away from that rig and then fight him once you get him away from the rig. And that's going to be pretty successful. Very interesting fish. Very good tasting fish. So good luck. Let me know how you do. All right, I got some more texts coming in. We got more reports. Lots of stuff to talk about. Back to do it after this three-minute pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, checking up on our text message board. That number is 504-260-1870. I love to see this. You know, we had a listener wanting to know about depth and presentation info on mangrove snappers, and we got a listener that replied, the backstrap stacker, who is over there in Alabama, and he shares this information. He says the best spot for mangroves around Alabama Point is around the docks and the jetties off Ono Island. The dead shrimp is great for them. So there you go. There's a little more advice for you. And, yeah, the jetties, rock structure, any structure is going to hold mangrove snappers, and you do need to be in a pretty high salinity area. All right, got some more texts coming in. We've got Captain Ross L. He's a regular. He's down there at Cajun Fishing Adventures. He didn't get to fish much. He had to run around the weather, but the fish are there. And he suggests you know, they got kind of a slogan. You can fish anywhere, but if you want to go catching, come on down and fish Louisiana. That's the Louisiana Charter Boat Association's slogan. All right, if you want to get in on the text message board, it's 504-260-1870. Also, while we're talking about Alabama fishing, I got the big rodeo, the Alabama Deep Sea Rodeo, coming up next weekend. I'll be back to tell you a whole lot more about it. But first, we're going to pause just 15 seconds for our local stations to tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, they got a new dock, and they got a new boardwalk, and a new live weigh-in category. That's all part of the 91st Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. You know, the Grand Isle Tarpon Rodeo, which is going to be the last weekend in July, traditionally always is the absolute oldest. I think it started in 1928, and the Alabama Deep Sea Rodeo started in 1929, so it's got it by a year, and it's over there on Dauphin Island, and believe me, it's a wonder the island doesn't sink. There's a whole lot of people and traffic that come out there. The CCA has evolved. They've got a live weigh-in, special awards category, and this year you can bring in a live flounder. That's added to the species of redfish and speckled trout. That's something new. And if you weigh in a legal fish and you've got a ticket, you'll be eligible for a total of $450,000, almost $500,000 in cash and prizes. The big prize, a Contender 25-foot bay boat powered with a Yamaha 250-horsepower outboard. So a great event takes place there on the Alabama coast, Dauphin Island, and that's coming up next weekend. Check it out. The Grand Isle Rodeo, the Grand Isle Tarpon Rodeo, is the oldest in the state. That will be going on July 25th, 26th, 27th. Everyone's invited. You can fish at any of the registration outlets. If you need more information, Bridgeside Marina, Grand Isle Marina, and also Hurricane Hole Marina. Now, next week, down there in Robbie Campo territory, not far from Robbie, in fact, at the it's called Robin's Rock Dock. They're going to be having one of those St. Bernard seafood markets where you buy the St. Bernard seafood right off the boat from the fishermen. And they are going to have some tasty oysters this year. You can go down there and pick up a fresh sack of oysters. They don't get any fresher than that, you know. And I'll tell you, oysters is one of the best products out of Louisiana. It's going to be between 9 and 1. So when you come back in from fishing, and or if you want to make a trip down there between 9 and 1, Robin's Rock Dock, that's located, if you remember back in the day, they had the old Pipps Marina. It's not far from Pipps Marina and where the canal that goes to the Hopedale Lagoon. It's right there on the, going down would be on the left-hand side of the road. They're also going to have some entertainment from Adam Pierce, The Voice. So check out St. Bernard Seafood Market. Speaking of oysters, I love them. Raw, fried, char-grilled with an artichoke and a soup or a dip. What is your favorite way to enjoy oysters if you can only have them one way? What would it be? I think mine would be crispy fried but very moist and still raw on the inside. That's the way I like them. Hot, hot grease, light batter coming right out of there. Text me, 504-260-1870. And let's get to some more of your texts. The Steel Man, he's checking in from Madisonville. He went sight fishing for reds around the Wrigley's last Sunday. Only saw a few. Wound two bulls. And, of course, now with the new regulations, you've got to release anything over 27 inches. There's no more possession of that one. He says he might give it another area tomorrow. So thanks for that report. That comes to us from the Steel Man. Let's see. We got some more. Wingbone says a lot of rain. Very hot day around Mobile Bay. Got a question. How's the fishing at the train trestles? Well, it's been pretty good this year. You know, that's a little deeper water in Pontchartrain. There's generally a slowdown during the middle of the summer, and then it picks up again as you get back to the fall. But right now, the way things have been going, I had a trip there with Captain Mike, and we'll be talking to him about that later. You know, you pull up underneath those bridges and bring you some live shrimp, and you're going to end up with something. Could be sheep's head, a black drum, a few redfish in Lake Pontchartrain, white trout. Lots of white trout have been there this year, and also you can catch some of those speckled trout too. So, you know, it's worth a shot if that's the place to fish. And with the wind projected today, I think it's going to be certainly going to be reachable to get out there. All right, we got, here's our friend, the Lafayette Yacker. Been a while since we heard from him. He's waiting to hear on kayak registration. The tournaments have gone to electric motors, and sadly, he's going in that direction. Well, you know, that's weren't what kayaks were designed for, but everything gets high-tech, including the electronics. All right, when we come back after this, we're going to be checking in with Captain Darrell Carpenter a little while. I got also some Bayou Wild TV sneak previews to tell you about, and also kind of recap what went on at the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission meeting. If you're a turkey or a duck hunter, you'll be interested to hear what was said. We'll be back to do it. But first, this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we're talking about oysters this morning because you'll be able to get you some fresh oysters right off the boat at Robin's Rock Dock next Saturday from 9 to 1. That's on the Hopedale Highway in St. Bernard. Going to have music, and there'll be other seafood items too, but I'll tell you, oysters are one of my favorites, and I forgot the way I like them is in gumbo. You know, you can put them in the ready set gumbo, your own gumbo concoction, along with duck. That's a marriage made in heaven. Duck and oysters just seem to go together. All right, we got some texts coming in talking about the favorite way you like them. Someone says they like oysters Mosca and raw from Bayou Cook or Lake Washington. That's where the best oysters, according to them, come from. Our buddy David Hubble says, what concerns are there about eating fresh raw oysters outside of an R month due to water temperatures being warm? By the way, he likes them char-grilled. The R months, you know, there used to be a saying, and there's still some people say it, that, you know, you shouldn't eat oysters in any month that does not have an R in it. Well, if you look at the calendar, those months are the summer, hotter months, warmer. And that goes way back to when there were days of poor refrigeration, and a lot of times there might be spoilage or bacterial growth on oysters, and people refrain from eating them, but that's, you know, you can eat oysters any month of the year. Now, that's not to say they're totally 100% safe. They can be contaminated with a natural occurring bacteria in salt water called Vibrio vulnificus. And that can be fatal to some people. Generally, if you have a normal immune system, you're not going to have a problem. But if you have a compromised immune system, it can be very problematic. In fact, a lot of the restaurants are posting, and that's strictly raw oysters. If they're cooked, you got no problem. But if you're eating raw oysters, make sure that you know, you're in good health if you're going to be doing that. All right, so if you want to shoot us a text, it's 504-260-1870. All right, I wanted to go back to Thursday's Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission meeting. There was a lot of items on the agenda. The two that stood out, I think, that are important to talk about to this audience would be duck hunters and turkey hunters in Louisiana. Ducks Unlimited has received from Louisiana hunters, and this is not by way of donations. This is through license sales. The money is diverted to them. It goes to habitat conservation on the breeding grounds in Canada. And they have, Louisiana hunters have donated $2.8 million to Canada to preserve breeding ground habitat. And Delta Waterfowl have received, and I guess this is on an annual basis, they received $55,000 from Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, money that's diverted from the basic hunting license fees and waterfowl stamps. Well, you know, the question is, you know, I think when this was instituted, and it's been going on for a long time, I think it was a wise investment. Certainly that's where the ducks are hatched, and if you don't have good production, you're not going to have good fall seasons. But things have changed, and I think what it might be coming down to is Louisiana hunters are sending their money via Delta Waterfowl and Ducks Unlimited to the Canadian prairies. But the ducks don't come back this far. And a lot of it has to do with that 1998 reform where it allows flooding of harvested crops up the flyway. And I don't think there's much question. It's arguable, but I don't think there's much question that that definitely has some influence on the ducks that we no longer see coming down here to Louisiana. So anyway, your thoughts on it, and you know, what do you think? Do you think it's a wise investment for Louisiana license fee money to be sent to Canada if we don't get the ducks back here in return? Maybe those organizations should try to improve the flight patterns, improve them to make them actually more normal to what they used to be. All right. Also, they talk turkey. I don't know. I'd hate to be a turkey manager. You know, there's two ways they measure the harvest. They get reports from surveys from people who buy turkey licenses. And then, of course, we have the validated tag system, which in a perfect world, you'd know every turkey that was killed, where it was killed, by who, and what it was, a Jake or a mature gobbler. Well, look at the difference. The survey says in 2024 there were 6,000 turkeys killed. In 2022 there were 9,000. I'm sorry, in 2023 there were, I think, 6,000. The validated tags in 2022 showed 3,000. So is it 9,000? Is it 3,000? If it's 9,000, we got a whole lot of bad boys in Louisiana not validating and tagging their turkeys. And what is the department using to determine what the population is? Are they using the validated tags? Are they using the survey reports? They touting it now. They sent out a headline saying this is the most turkeys ever validated since the program's been in. Well, is it because more people are validating the tags, or because more turkeys are being killed? And if that's the fact, what is the bar? What is the trigger number where, when the turkeys reach a certain population, which they said they've been down, that they will restore the earlier seasons? You know, there's no doubt that by moving the hunting season back further into the breeding period, that it's beyond the peak breeding period. The peak breeding period, according to where I hunt and most people I speak to, has been during the youth season. And once youth season is over, it's on the downslide from there. And there's proof. They said that almost, I think it's somewhere around 90% of the turkeys that are killed each year are taken during the first week of the season. Well, it's obvious. Well, when is it going to be good enough to get back to, since this is the most ever reported, indicating that maybe it's the best the turkey population's been since 2009 when they put those tagging regulations in place. Is it time to revisit it and say, let's move the season back up to mid-March? Get people back into it. A lot of people have quit turkey hunting. But instead, they keep it moved back. They keep the limit reduced to 2. And the Jakes now, they even made it more restrictive. There's no killing of Jakes except by youth hunters. So the restrictions keep getting tighter and the population keeps growing, according to their own report. So which is it? They're also asking for people to do some reporting in their online survey. Go to the Wildlife Fisheries website. I don't think you can have too much data, except in this case, maybe trying to determine the difference between what's validated tags and what people are saying that they have taken is quite a bit of difference. All right, that will continue. We ain't solving it this morning on a radio show, that's for sure. But one thing we will have is a fishing report from Grand Isle. It's next with Captain Darrell Carpenter here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, I'll tell you, all indications, if you didn't get out and fish this week, you missed a good week, maybe the best week of the season so far for saltwater fishing. It was certainly good down in Grand Isle. And let's talk to Darrell Carpenter and get some more information on it. Darrell, you guys had a pretty good week catching some big trout down there.
Yes, sir. Once that weather cleared up, I mean, we had some windy, rainy conditions where it knocked most of the mornings out. So if you were going to fish, you mostly had to fish the afternoons. But once all that cleared out, I say cleared out. Heck, it chased me all day. It was like I owed it money. but we had to run from a bunch of storms, or one particular hard-headed storm. But, yeah, I mean, that, I guess, Don, that's what we talked about earlier yesterday. The good part was, we'd find fish, and then we'd get an hour maybe on the spot, and then we'd have to move because of this lightning storm that was coming at us. And the good point is we found fish everywhere. I mean, we had to hit multiple spots that I wasn't planning on hitting, and multiple spots had 18 to 20-inch fish on it. So, I mean, I guess that's the good news. And like I said, I think, you know, I think some of these bigger fish that have gone through their spawning since March or so, I think some of them are starting to move back in already.
You know, Darryl, I was watching the weather forecast each and every day, and it was amazing how those rainstorms just hung along the coast, and then when they started to move inland later in the day, they'd actually break up for the most part. But you guys got your ample supply of drenching down there. But do you agree that, possibly those lingering effects, after effects of Beryl that moved this way stimulated the fishing like what normally happens whenever we've got a tropical storm or depression in the Gulf?
You know, it's not uncommon for us to get a storm and something like that take place. I don't know. I can't answer that question because, you know, they were predicting coastal flooding and all with Beryl that came in, and we didn't even see an elevated tide. So, yes, did we get to see some rain? Yes. Did it cool it off a little bit, you know, and that type of stuff? But I don't know that we saw a whole lot of effects. Like I said, Grand Isle, if the tide was 6 inches higher than normal, then that's stretching it. It wasn't much at all.
And you got white trout mixed in there. Was there any particular technique or bait that you used, or was it pretty much anything anywhere?
Don, we never opened the live well. I had 200 live shrimp or so with me. We never opened the live well. Everything was caught either top water, matrix shad jigs on the bottom, or that marker 54 under a cork. We literally never used the first one yesterday, the first live bait yesterday.
Well, I can give you some suggestions with what to do with those unused shrimp when you get back. I can tell you that.
Well, like Robbie said, they're small. They're, you know, our white shrimp.
True.
Now, the good news is that it doesn't look like, you know, Grand Isle's known to have that 6 week or so drought where we get no shrimp when the browns leave before the whites come in. It looks like that's not going to happen this year. We're already catching just a tremendous amount of little small whites. And everywhere I stopped yesterday, there was good shrimp being chased everywhere. I'm talking even after that storm passed at, you know, 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning, you round a corner and there's shrimp just blowing up everywhere with trout on their behinds chasing them. So I don't know that we're going to have that shrimp shortage this year. The hard part right now is keeping enough croakers.
Yeah, exactly, with this hot weather. Speaking of the hot weather, a lot of people are starting to go out early, and I know we have a lot of Department of Wildlife and Fisheries agents who monitor this show. Tell me what you're seeing out there, because people are leaving earlier in the dark.
Well, it's like I told you in our text earlier. Yesterday was probably, and look, I do a lot of nighttime shrimping and stuff, so I've gotten very comfortable being on the water at night in the dark. But yesterday spooked me a little bit. I mean, these people have got to start getting some lights. Look, there's not a fish out there, there's not a daylight bite out there that's worth either losing your life or losing your financial freedom when you lose everything you have. But you got boats running around out there, Don, with no lights on. I mean, and it's spooky. I mean, we've got no moon right now. And, you know, we ran across multiple boats yesterday on our way out. My customers got here early. We left 4:30, 4:45. And we were catching fish in the dark. But the amount of boats that we have running around in this bay right now with no lights on pre-dawn is out and out scary. And I just, man, none of it's worth losing a life over. Go get some lights. Even the battery-operated ones, if you only do it, you know, a couple times a year.
Well, if common sense doesn't motivate them to get the boat lit up, then maybe the threat of getting a ticket might do that. Darryl, if somebody wants to get a hold of you and get in on some of this fishing before it goes away, tell them how to get you.
They can find me on your website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. We've got RealScreamers.com. Or you can just pick up the phone and call 225-937-6288.
And where are you headed today?
Well, I got people waiting on me to go serve them some shrimp right now. So I'm going fixing to go count shrimp, and then I think we're staying right here close to the house in the bay today.
All right. Sounds like a winner. Darryl, thanks for the report, and y'all be safe down there and catch up with you next week.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Don. Have a good day.
All righty. Darryl Carpenter, realscreamers.com. You can do it either way, R-E-E-L or R-E-A-L, and you'll get him there. All right, when we come back after the top of the hour break, we got more fishing reports. We'll check in with Mike Gallo, Brendan Bayard with a paddler's report. Also, what I found about kayaking regulations. We'll also talk to the plastic man, Captain Ryan Lambert, and a whole lot more of your text, 504-260-1870. What's your favorite oyster dish? Back with all of that right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
Nerds.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And it's hour number two of the Outdoor Show. Thanks for joining us. Got some text messages coming into our in-studio text line, which is 504-260-1870. If you'd like to use it, we welcome your reports, your comments, your questions. Got this one in from our buddy Big Mike on beautiful Bayou Liberty. He says they have a bass tournament every Monday evening there. And he said they have been biting good on the worms and the speed crawl. They're hanging on the edge of the eelgrass. Good advice from Mike on the Bayou. All right, here's one that wants looking for some reports around Lake Barre out of Point of Chien. If anybody's got any, text them to us. We'll pass it along. I'll also check in with Brendan Bayard. He kind of keeps up to date on the pack area over there from the kayak standpoint. Here's one from our buddy Toby. What's up, Big Don, as he always starts him. He'll take 24 raw every day. This morning he's headed up to Mississippi. He's going to suffer through a work day. Yeah, those woods in the middle of the day this time of year is nothing nice. He said if it wasn't turkey season, when it is turkey season, he'd be fishing. All right, here's one. Don, what are your thoughts on slot reds for tournament fishing with the new regulations? Would folks move the tournament size down so we waymasters don't have to deal with illegal fish when someone doesn't measure correctly? I don't think it has anything to do with that. If somebody doesn't measure their fish correctly, it doesn't matter what the regulation is. And you as a way station, tournament and a way station master, way master's got to just deal with that. And, just DQ them. I don't know what your procedure is for notifying them, but wildlife and fisheries, but I would tell them if the fish is still alive, it's a live weigh-in, get this fish out of here as quick as you can and inform them of the new regulation. All right, we got the Louisiana River Chicken checking in with us, saying checking in for the first time in a while. The water in the Rigolets is cleaning up and the Little Lake is full of dink trout. Congratulations on your big anniversary. Now, that can be a confusing report. You're talking about the Rigolets and Little Lake over by Pearl River, or you're talking about the Rigolets and Little Lake in Lafitte? Both of them have both of those water body names. All right, we have this one. Good morning and hello and aloha from sunny Oahu. We got a Hawaiian listener. Says, I'm a longtime listener. Congratulations on the upcoming 35 years from one Army veteran to another as I complete 31 years of service with the U.S. Army. Well, congratulations. Your show has been jump-starting my weekends for decades. Thank you. The Odyssey app has definitely helped. Yeah, you can listen anywhere, anytime with that. He loves raw oysters, raw, fried, and in gumbo, but the favorite's the char grill with lots of garlic. That's from PJ, our Army vet listener in Hawaii. Well, PJ, I'm going to steal a line from Nick Saban, very wise statement, where he said, you know, people don't remember what you said, but they remember how you made them feel. And you telling me I've been jump-starting you makes my day. Thanks for the text. Bitico Tommy, guess what he likes? Oysters lightly battered and fried, not hard, and he also likes them in a red gravy over spaghetti. Boy, I haven't had that in a while. So oyster stuff is making me hungry. How about an oyster omelet? I mean, anybody ever try that? All right, here's one says, good morning. Been listening to your show since day one. In regards to turkey hunting, I feel most people do not tag their kills And I feel, in my 50 years of hunting, I feel that turkey is coming more popular than ever. I also think that a lot of hunters, and in many that I know, don't use the proper tagging regulations. When I was young, I knew very few people at turkey, and more people hunted rabbit and squirrel. Same here. I guess times change. Thanks for that text, number 2178. And this one says, I feel when those storms come close, it drives all that salt water and the salinity levels up and the fishing always pick up. Your thoughts? Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's my justification or rationalization of why the fishing got so good this week. Here's a vote for oyster stew. Another vote for oysters Mosca, and their son makes the best. Someone want to know any man-made structures in Lake Bourne? If so, how do you find the coordinates? Ben from Mississippi. You can spot them. Once you get into Lake Bourne, there's several of them. Particularly, most of them are closer to the eastern, it would be the eastern shoreline of Lake Bourne, but there's some even a little further out to the west. I don't know if there's any listings of those, but believe me, they're not hard to spot once you get out into the lake. Let's see. We got oysters are better in Mama's Seafood Gumbo, crabs, shrimp, and oysters. And here's one that says, old Nick did not come up with that quote. Yes, I thought he did. That comes from Maya Angelou. I don't know who that is, but I heard it from the lips of Nick Saban, so I'm attributing that quote to him. All right, we come back after this. We got some quotes from Captain Mike Gallo. He's making a special appearance in a fishing seminar this week. We'll tell you where you can get out and meet Captain Mike. And also got a lot of questions to ask about where the fish are and how to catch them in his area, like Pontchartrain, Lake Catherine, Biloxi Marsh, Lake Bourne, all those areas where he has the boat and he travels. We're back with Mike's report. But first this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, Captain Mike Gallo's reports are brought to you as a presentation of CETO. A lot of people know him as, the people that come out and rescue you. Other people know him as the ones that offer you peace of mind, but they take care of both. That's right. Some people say they're AAA on the water, and that's another adequate description because they'll come get you wherever you are, whenever you need them. And it's service on every boat you own, rent, or even borrow. It's 100% coverage of tows from your dock to a repair facility. Easy enough to do. $249 for a year. You can even give it as a great gift. Go to CETO.com. That'll get you there. Or if you want to talk to Captain Chris or Colleen, just call him at 504-301-4545. That's 301-4545, and they'll get you signed up. Captain Mike joins us now, and Mike, we got a lot to talk about. I got people wanting to know about fishing at the trestles like you and I did recently. They also want to know how do you locate those rig structures in Lake Bourne, and also they want to know where you're going to be this coming Tuesday in Slidell with a fishing seminar. I'm thinking Mike's hearing me.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Did you hear my three questions?
Oh, no, I didn't.
All right. Well, we'll start over with them again. One, somebody wants to know about fishing at the Trestle Bridge, like you and I did. Is it still on, and has it changed? Number two, they want to know how do you – this is someone new to Lake Bourne fishing, want to know how to locate those rig structures. And number three, they want to know where you're going to be in Slidell Tuesday with the fishing seminar.
Okay. Since my memory's a little short, we'll take them backwards. Tuesday, I'm at the wine market, which is on East Gauze at 6 p.m. Me and Captain Matt McCabe and Captain Danny Hunter will be putting on a seminar. I'm sure me and those captains will get together ahead of time and make sure we don't talk about the same thing.
Now, having a fishing seminar in a wine market, what can go wrong there? I think there's going to be some stories told the later it gets into the evening, huh?
Yeah, I would imagine so. I've done several there. It's a fairly nice, intimate setting.
Yeah, it's a great place.
Yeah. I like taking questions. So that's what I prefer. I'll get up there, introduce myself, kind of a little recap of what I've done so far over the weekend and in the early part of the week. And then I like to field questions. That way I know we're helping the anglers out as best we can.
Yep, that gets started anyway, about 6 o'clock.
Yeah, 6 p.m. And rig structures in Lake Bourne, a lot of them you can see above the waterline. You can go to Wildlife and Fisheries website, and I believe there's a list of oil rigs or gas rigs, and find the GPS coordinates there. If that doesn't work for you, there's a gentleman by the goes by Captain Paul, and he sells GPS coordinates that you can download into your GPS. I think you can find him in Louisiana Sportsman magazine.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Captain Paul. But like you say, they're pretty obvious to see. But there are some little small ones, those little candelabra rigs, they call them, you know, the little structures. They're not big platform-type things. But they can be very effective because you usually got a shell pad underneath them.
Right. And there's several rigs that have been picked up. So you don't see the structure above the water's surface, but the shell pad is still down on the bottom.
Right.
And those generally don't get near as much pressure once the structure is removed above the water surface. A lot of people fish visible structure.
Mm-hmm.
And the first question, the trestle. I do very little fishing at the trestle in the summertime. Most of my fishing is after either redfish, which is in the marsh, or speckled trout, which is further east where you have saltier water. I would imagine along the trestle, you'll have the usual suspects of sheephead, black drum, the occasional redfish, the occasional flounder. It wouldn't surprise me if there were undersized trout there because they obviously don't move out seeking saltier water when it's time to spawn.
And, Mike, did you get a shot in your arm in your fishing areas this week? And a lot of people are attributing to the residual effects we got from Hurricane Beryl.
Right. It did seem like that pushed in some saltier water, like we talked about last week or the week before, where there's a lot of grass in the marsh that has died out, which has made the fishing a little bit easier, at least from the perspective of being able to get to them and see them as far as red fishing.
All right. Any other things you want to talk about before we go here?
Well, I would certainly say it's been hot. Make sure you stay hydrated. Have an escape plan, because at any time pop-up storm could pop up, and it may be between you and where you're going, so you may need an alternative route back.
Very good. Mike, if somebody wants to find you and check out your webpage, it's aaofla.com, and we've got a connection there. We've got a link from my website at dontheoutdoorsguy.com. If they want to give you a call and check out on dates that are available for both the lodge and for the boats, tell them how to do that.
Very simple, Don. You can find me at 985-781-7811.
All right. Good luck today, Mike, and we'll talk to you next week and find out how you did.
Thank you, Don. We'll talk to you then.
All right. And go out and see Mike Tuesday night, 6 o'clock at the wine market right there on in Slidell. All right. We come back after this. Brendan Bayard joins us with the Paddler's Report. Also, I had my investigative team. I gave them an assignment to find out about a question regarding kayak regulations that came up last week. We have the answer. Back with that right after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our Paddler's Report with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club is presented by Massey's Outfitters. Three locations, Mid-City, New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Covington, best kayak fishing models, Hobie, Jackson, Native Watercraft, also tons and tons of accessories for the paddler. And you can check it all out on their website at MasseyOutfitters.com. That's M-A-S-S-E-Y. And you can also check them out on Facebook and look for those demo days. Understand they had one, I think, last week. Well, before we get to Brendan Bayard's report, last week this question came up. We were talking about Operation Dry Water and the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries being on the lookout during the holiday week for intoxicated boat operators. And the question came up, can you be cited for being intoxicated or DUI, driving under the influence, in a kayak? Well, here's what we found out. RS-14-98 says, operating a vehicle while intoxicated. The crime of operating a vehicle while intoxicating is the operating of any motor vehicle, aircraft, watercraft, vessel, or other means of conveyance. And then RS-34-851.2 goes on to say, a vessel means a watercraft, airboat of every description, other than a seaplane on the water, that's used or capable of being used as a means of transportation on water. Watercraft means any contrivance used or designated for navigation on the water. So the short answer is yes. If you're drunk or intoxicated on a kayak, you can technically be cited. So, Brendan, with that in mind, take warning. You know, use your better judgment when you're out there on the water.
It's been a while since I came back to the bank with a stringer full of cans instead of a stringer full of fish. But I've seen people do it out there, so I'll pass the word.
Very good. All right, I know the Lafayette Jack is excited about this. The Lafayette Club is having a Cajun Castaway tournament. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool tournament this year. It's going to be part of a new Hobie Saltwater Series, which is going to branch clubs across the region together to form kind of a tournament trail of sorts. And the first one we have in Louisiana coming up is this one in August. It's going to be the Lafayette Club's Cajun Castaway. It's going to be a slam tournament over there in Big Lake area. I think the captain's meeting is going to be over there at Crying Eagle Brewery, so that should be fun. And then we'll go fish in the lake, catch a slam, and then come back to the weigh-in. And then those points will be accrued and then added to any other saltwater series events that you participate in, which will be Fallen Tide for the Bayou Coast Club, and then right down the road in Mobile, the Five Rivers event in September. So looking forward to fishing all three of those events. Hopefully my boys can join me. But I love getting out of town and fishing new water and seeing the guys from the neighboring clubs. It's always a good time.
Those tournaments give you a family discount? For
multiple no, they don't, kayaks. But it's not too bad. I mean, we're talking, you know, 50, 70 bucks or something, and it comes with a T-shirt and a meal and a bag of goodies. So, I mean, it's not too bad of a value if you ask me.
You know, there was some prize-winning fish caught by bank fishermen down in Grand Isle. What's the situation down there? Because that's a very popular kayaking spot.
Yeah, the trout have been plentiful behind the island. There, you're gonna catch a lot of small ones. You're gonna have to weed through to catch keepers. It's just part of, you know, the new reality. You know, a little bit bigger fish you have to get to keep, and then just I don't know, for whatever reason this year, a plethora of little babies mixed in all around, and you know, catching a lot of 10-inch fish behind the island. But, you know, there's also, you know, 17, 16s that you'll get into. Not seeing a ton of big fish. I mean, if you look at the starboard, you know, we're seeing, you know, a 3-pound fish is leading Grand Isle, which is kind of surprising. I mean, out west, even, you know, smaller, you know, so a 2.4 is leading the kayak division. In the Big Lake, so, you know, down year as far as size wise on bigger fish on the coast. Hopefully that resolves itself before the winter, which is when I like to go fishing for the big fish. But, you know, certainly you can fill up an ice chest if you have patience and you get out there and, you know, try to weed through some of the smaller fish with bigger baits, maybe top water fishing as opposed to using a cork. You know, those kind of things kind of help improve your ratio of keeper to throwback.
Yeah, that's some unusual situation in that CCA Star tournament. Got a listener wanted to check on fishing around the pack, Point of Shen Marina. You getting any information there?
Yeah, they're catching you know, a good amount of fish right there to the west of Point of Shen. One of my favorite places, you know, right down from the launch there, you can start catching trout in the bayou that, you know, heads out west right there from the marina. And then, you know, cruising around looking for redfish, you know, and then the flounder have been plentiful this year. So, you know, that's one of the benefits of having a year with low redfish and low trout. By comparison, we have had increased flounder this year. So, you know, don't forget to slow down that retrieve and you might catch a really nice flatfish for dinner.
Good stuff. Finally, Brendan, do you suggest fishermen become crepuscular this time of the year?
Boy, what?
A crepuscular, like the animals that become active at dawn and dusk.
Oh, yes, yes, especially this weekend because the solar lunar bite is, you know, right in line with dawn and dusk today. So if you're out there fishing, you have your best 2 hours lined up, you know, right there at 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. and then again at, you know, 5:15 tonight and then to 7:15. So that's always nice when it coincides with the best times of the day. So usually you kind of, you know, see a better effect of that morning bite. And then, of course, it'll let you take a nice nap in the middle of the day when it's really hot outside, and then, you know, come out, rest and refresh for that afternoon bite.
Well, the things people learn on this show, huh? You got three types of activity. You got diurnal, which is daytime. You got nocturnal, which is nighttime, and crepuscular, which is at dawn and dusk. And besides that, you even know you can get a ticket for being drunk on a kayak. So there's no shortage of information on this show for sure.
Yeah, it's one other thing I'd like to mention. A lot of us go over to Navarre area to go fish. This month they've been catching some nice big sailfish over there, and even a wahoo out of the kayak, you know, half a mile from the shoreline. So really good pelagic season over there in the Navarre. Of course, if you went today, you'd have to deal with the Blue Angels traffic, but you know, every other weekend is going to be a great opportunity if you're into that.
I tell you what, we don't have time this morning, but next time you come on, let's talk about techniques for fighting big fish from a kayak, like wahoos and tuna and those type of things. Very, very important.
Yes, sir.
All right. We can talk about that next time. Thanks for the report, Brendan. Have a great weekend, my friend.
You too. Take care.
There he goes, Brendan Bayard. And next week we'll hear from Captain Eric, and then Brendan will be back with us the following week. All right, we come back after this. We got three Texans came here to Louisiana and got themselves in a little bit of trouble. We'll tell you our bad boys of the outdoors after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we're talking oysters because the St. Bernard Seafood Market next Saturday from 9 to 1 at the Hopedale Highway at Robbins Rock Dock is going to be selling fresh seafood, including those very fresh from-the-water oysters. And what is your favorite way to dine on oysters? Lafitte LT checking in. He says raw and more raw. He went out of Southwest Pass yesterday, and the sharks just took the fun out of fishing. We're able to land a few fish, but they took as much as we did. What can we do about it? Very little. We are still living with very, very tight shark keeping regulations, and until they assess the population and understand how many sharks are out there and that they can be a commercial season instituted, the only thing you can do is when they find you, leave and go find another place, and then when the sharks find you again, stay on the run from them. That's about all you can do. Here's the text, says oysters are better in Mama's seafood gumbo, crabs, shrimp, and oysters. Yeah, all three of them. All right, we come back after this quick 10-second pause. We're going to tell you a story about three guys from Texas got in some trouble in New Orleans. They're our bad boys of the outdoors. But first, our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, acting on a tip about three people possessing a live gator on the sidewalk of Esplanade Avenue in New Orleans, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries agents, along with NOPD officers, responded to the location, but alas, did not find three people with an alligator. However, following a thorough investigation of videos and photographs, they identified three Texas men as the culprits. After questioning, they fessed up to possessing the gator, which they claim they found in a park in Lafitte, brought it to New Orleans, and ended up releasing it in a nearby bayou. Agent Jimmy Daniel, Senior Agent Mason Costello, Corporal Sal Mangano, Lieutenant Jason Russo, and Captain Tim Fox all had a hand in resulting in the alleged illegal possession of an alligator without a permit. The citation was written, and if convicted, it will bring a fine of between $250 and $500 for 48-year-old Ediberto Sanchez, 45-year-old Matthew Irwin, 48-year-old Elgin Konashek, all from Sealy, Texas, and all our bad boys of the outdoors. Yeah, well, you know, admitting your guilt is pretty compelling evidence, but you wonder, these videos and photographs, that's enough to get convictions. Well, do they hold up in court? What do you think? Well, I think they definitely do. And, you know, these guys, usually they got to brag about what they're doing and probably had it posted all over social media, make it very easy for agents to locate. All right, got some more texts coming in. This one from our buddy Big E. Listen to us down in Thibodaux, Louisiana. Had a good week at the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Stock Pond in Houma. 10 catfish, two of which were 26 inches and 6 pounds. Love your show. Miss your conversations with Hokie. You know, nobody misses them more than me, but wow, that's some really good channel catfish, six-pound catfish. Yeah, those stock ponds, you can find the listing of them. I've fished in them before, and the department puts them in there, and they're full-grown. They're not fingerling. You don't have to wait. I mean, they bite as soon as they hit the water, and they've got special stocking days, and we try to give you that information when it's available to us. All right, he also likes the fried po' boys, oyster po' boy, with fried onion rings. Keep on with your show. That's our friend, Big E. All right, coming back after this, Captain Ryan Lambert, the Plastic Man, joins us on a Saturday morning to talk about fishing down the tip of the boot. We're talking about Plaquemines Parish in southeast Louisiana. He's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And the Plastic Man joins us this morning, and Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures. And Ryan, you guys do some pretty good gourmet meals down there at the Cajun Fishing Adventures Lodge. What is your favorite way to eat oysters?
Oysters? I think good old-fashioned fried.
Yeah, I'm with you.
On a po' boy with pickles and mayonnaise and ketchup and tomatoes, and I'm good to go.
Yes, indeed. I like them fried, real crispy on the outside,
but not, you know,
almost raw. Yeah, not overdone, not all dried out. Yeah. I tell you, you know, Tommy Satanovich from Drago's, you know, make the char-grilled oysters real famous. He came up with a really good quote, and he said, "The oyster is the single best bite of seafood in Louisiana." One bite.
It's a good one, that's for sure.
Well, you guys experienced a shot in the arm fishing this week like everybody else did, probably from that saltwater influx.
My word. I had to break a boat in yesterday. I left the lodge at 11 o'clock and limited out.
Wow.
That's pretty dang good.
Speaking of breaking
in the middle of the day.
Absolutely. Speaking of breaking in boats, you know, there used to be a process for breaking in new outboard motors. What is the suggested procedure for breaking in boats and motors these days?
Well, they'll want you to take it up to, you know, a lower RPM, you know, idle around first and then for an hour and then put it on top real easy. And then as you start coming up, don't keep it on the same speed. Keep moving the different RPMs around. And then after a few hours, then you can go ahead and open it up. But my boats don't never see opened up unless there's a storm cloud nipping on my little transom.
I gotcha. How many times do y'all change boats down there in the business?
Every year. Every year?
Every year, huh? Yeah, well, that's good.
Right now we just take them to the dealer, park one and grab one and go on back home.
Yeah.
It's a good deal.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. But
on maintenance for sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, they get a lot of feedback from you guys because you guys run them hard, put them up wet sometimes, you know?
Yeah, well, some of the guys do.
Especially some of your guys.
I'm so old, I just kind of ease around and look for something to move so I can catch it. But, you know, the aquatic vegetation is starting to come up around, and it's easier to sight fish. The bull reds have come in, so we got the bulls. And, you know, I found yesterday, if you had a cork on, you was catching so many more gaff tops. I think I might have caught one, but I would take a light bait, a small bait, and I'd throw it to where the birds or whatever, the shrimp are just popping everywhere. You know, they small shrimp, 80-100s. But if you kept it on top and twisted through those shrimp, you could watch the redfish come, I mean, the trout come up and eat it, and you wouldn't get the gaff tops. But the cork, oh, my gosh. Gaff top after gaff top after gaff top.
Yeah.
So That's my MO from now on.
Yeah, well, you know,
if they eating like that, I'm going to take advantage of it.
Yeah, when the trout bite is hot and heavy under birds like that, man, you want to make hay while it's there, but you don't want to have to be dealing with those old slimy.
You know, there's so much shrimp in the water, you don't even need birds. You can just watch and, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but if you put your power poles down in some current, usually the fish and the shrimp and everything will use that as a breakwater, and they will get behind that to break the current. So they start piling up there. So, you know, once you put it down, you create a fishery, especially if they were in the area already and you saw the shrimp jumping. Just put your poles down and start casting there, and sure enough, everything will come to that area because it's breaking that tide for them.
Good
so
tip.
It's pretty easy, yeah. A lot of people don't know. Figure that
east
out.
Or west, which would you suggest for this weekend?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
That's what
both
I thought.
Both ways. I think the trout on the east, if they're under the birds, they're very small. But the rigs towards Breton and that way has some really nice trout on them.
Thumper? Are they thumper quality?
Oh yeah, they got some thumpers, but you can't keep thumpers anymore. Two of them.
Yeah, well, but that's another problem. Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably going out that way, but there's a lot of 18, 19, 20 inch trout that you can keep right under 20s. So those are beautiful fish out that way. So it's a, you know, if you want to take that boat ride, if you don't have the pop ups, you know, those pop ups have been pretty strong lately. I see they're all around me right now. I'm doing the professor deal today. I'm taking the 11 LSU students out and teaching my restoration and that kind of stuff.
Man, you do a lot of that, don't you?
I sure do. In fact, they just talked about last night actually doing a program here and let me teach tons of them. Wow. Which I don't mind. You know, the youngest, that mind is the one that needs to be taught.
Yeah, and I'm sure you get a lot of enjoyment in watching their reaction, the surprise, you know, that things going on down there. They had no clue.
And we have a permit for a 50-foot gill net or 100-foot gill net, so they get to set that out and see all the different fish and crabs and stuff that they can catch. So it's cool to watch them do it because none of them have a clue. I mean, not a clue.
Yeah, well, we definitely need people in the future making decisions that do have clues. We don't want the clues.
Yeah, well, they'll have a clue after they learn. That's a good part, you know, teaching them, and they'll have a good clue after they see how it works.
Exactly. Well, Ryan, somebody wants to get in touch with you, and hey, it's probably not too early to be checking on teal season availabilities, too. Tell them how to get you.
Yeah, if you want to come teal hunting, you better call now because this is going to be booked up solid. Yeah, they can go to CajunFishingAdventures.com or call me direct at 504-559-5111. And the fishing's on fire and the business is slow. So you want a fishing trip, it's good right now. And I don't think it's going to go anywhere until the shrimp start. You know, the shrimp season starts. I think we'll have all this bait and they'll be biting it really well until then.
All right. All sounds good. See you next week.
All right, my friends. We'll see you.
All right, Captain Ron Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures. All right, we come back after this. We're going to wrap up with some of your text messages. I'm getting quite a few texts about Maya Angelou, and we'll talk more about her right after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. You know, one of the really nice things about this live radio show is we get to interact with the audience, and we can do it through our in-studio text message board. We get texts throughout the show, and apologize if we don't get to all of your texts, but we appreciate you sending them to 504-260-1870. We're going to close out with a few here. This one says, I'd be remiss if I didn't suggest folks get some oysters and Uncle Larry stew in a few and make his brown gravy oyster spaghetti. Very tasty and hearty. I agree with that. Here's one says, good morning, Mr. Dubuque, spelled as it is in Iowa, which a lot of people do. My husband is still sleeping, and I wake up early on Saturday mornings, pour a cup of coffee, and love listening to all the interesting outdoor topics you talk about on your show. My favorite way to eat oysters is fresh fried out of the fryer in a fully dressed French bread po' boy. Thanks for producing such a great outdoor show. That's from Metri Girl. Thank you, Metri Girl. Appreciate you being there listening. Here's one from the son of a Wego rat. He remembers his memories of bringing in a stringer of Dixie cans, and also he likes that clear oyster soup. Thanks for the years. This one says, Don, you ever checked out the fish advisory about the consumption the Fish and Wildlife puts out every year? Oh, I have. And it can be scary, but you got to remember, and what that deals with is it gives you by water body the possibilities of mercury and other toxin contaminants. You know, things like mercury don't dissolve, and it's what they call bayou accumulative. In other words, if a small fish ingests something with mercury and a bigger fish eats it, it stays in that bigger fish, goes up to the bigger fish, and if a mammal or a bird eats it or a human, the mercury don't go away. And there are recommendations on how many meals of what type of fish you should eat. And I suggest you look at it. It's in the regulations pamphlet. It's on their website. They give reports by water body type. And for the most part, people who have to really be concerned with it, people who have an exclusive seafood diet and people who eat those fish that are on the upper end of the food chain, they live the longest. They have a chance of having mercury is greater in such fish as like catfish and garfish and some of the top of the food chain predators. But it's interesting reading and can be a little bit scary, but mostly their warning is for pregnant women. They would be the most susceptible for that. All right, here's one. What is your opinion of people bow fishing for redfish? Have you ever bow fished? Yes, I have. And that came up on a show I was guest hosting on our flagship station. On guest hosting, I was asked to comment on it doing one of the shows with one of the guest hosts, Tommy Tucker. And next week, we'll put that together because it's a little lengthy to explain, and I'll tell you what my opinion of it is. And I know a lot of people have a lot of opinions about it. All right, let's see. We got this one saying, best way to eat oysters is in a poule and oyster gumbo. Yeah, I haven't had that. I've had both. I've had poule and oyster gumbo, but the combination, I've had a lot of duck and oyster gumbo. But poule, don't see anything would be wrong with that. Here's one. Any idea what's going on in Pontchartrain? Approximately 1 mile from the south shore, just west of the causeway, appears to be a dredge boat of some sort. Yeah, I have seen that there. I thought it was doing some type of a cleanup because there's lines with floats going out from around it, and that's something else I'll try to investigate and find out what that's all about because it's been there now for at least a couple of weeks that I've seen it out there. Let's see. You know what I'm getting to? You know, I mentioned that I heard from Nick Saban a quote that I was impressed with where he said, people don't remember what you say. They remember how you made them feel. Well, I'm being told that that was not Nick's original quote, and maybe he gave attribution. You know how I know in the media business they can cut up sound bites and you don't really hear the beginning and the end of things. You hear the middle of it, but I heard it from him. But they tell me that it was originally, it comes from Maya Angelou. And I've got this from several people who are talking about it. And one says she wrote a book, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, and she's highly referenced. Another says she was a female poet. She spoke at Clinton's inaugural address. And evidently she's writing some inspirational and motivational books and lines, and maybe I'll check it out and see. She sounds like a very interesting person. I was totally unaware. I'd never heard the name before. Maya Angelou. All right, let's see. I got more calls for people. I think the fried oysters got to be the number one way where I think people enjoy it. And here's one says they're building a breakwater right off the shore in Metairie. I wonder why that dredges. I guess, are they pumping sediment up there to build it up? I'm not sure what that's all about, but we'll check into it more. But I see it out there, and it's right in the location of where the old milk bottle used to be. If you're familiar with that lit-up white bottle that they called the milk bottle, where it was a structure with a shell pad underneath it, and the fishing was pretty good, but it's been torn down and gone for probably a couple decades now. Uncle Larry's loading his van. He's going to have bacon in a few with bacon and eggs and a few in his stew. I'm not sure if that was Uncle Larry or an imposter. Not sure. All right, that's Reed Allaman singing our outgoing theme song, so that means it's time for me to get out of here. But I'll be back again, 5 to 7 a.m. We do this each and every Saturday. Thanks to Cullen Steele, working all the buttons back at the mothership, getting us in and out. Thanks to you, our listeners, for your participation in making the show as interesting and entertaining as it is. We'll see you next week with another edition of The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, we're talking oysters because the St. Bernard Seafood Market next Saturday from 9 to 1 at the Hopedale Highway at Robbins Rock Dock is going to be selling fresh seafood, including those very fresh from-the-water oysters. And what is your favorite way to dine on oysters? Lafitte LT checking in. He says raw and more raw. He went out of Southwest Pass yesterday, and the sharks just took the fun out of fishing. We're able to land a few fish, but they took as much as we did. What can we do about it? Very little. We are still living with very, very tight shark-keeping regulations, and until they assess the population and understand how many sharks are out there and that they can be a commercial season instituted, the only thing you can do is when they find you, leave and go find another place, and then when the sharks find you again, stay on the run from them. That's about all you can do. Here's the text, says oysters are better in Mama's Seafood Gumbo. Crabs, shrimp, and oysters. Yeah, all three of them. All right, we come back after this quick 10-second pause. We're going to tell you a story about three guys from Texas got in some trouble in New Orleans. They're our bad boys of the outdoors. But first, our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, acting on a tip about three people possessing a live gator on the sidewalk of Esplanade Avenue in New Orleans, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries agents, along with NOPD officers, responded to the location, but alas, did not find three people with an alligator. However, following a thorough investigation of videos and photographs, they identified three Texas men as the culprits. After questioning, they fessed up to possessing the gator, which they claim they found in a park in Lafitte, brought it to New Orleans, and ended up releasing it in a nearby bayou. Agent Jimmy Daniel, Senior Agent Mason Costello, Corporal Sal Mangano, Lieutenant Jason Russo, and Captain Tim Fox all had a hand in resulting in the alleged illegal possession of an alligator without a permit. The citation was written, and if convicted, it will bring a fine of between $250 and $500 for 48-year-old Ediberto Sanchez, 45-year-old Matthew Irwin, 48-year-old Elgin Konishek, all from Sealy, Texas, and all our bad boys of the outdoors. Yeah, well, you know, admitting your guilt is pretty compelling evidence, but you wonder, these videos and photographs, that's enough to get convictions. Well, do they hold up in court? What do you think? Well, I think they definitely do. And, you know, these guys, usually they got to brag about what they're doing and probably had it posted all over social media, make it very easy for agents to locate. All right, got some more texts coming in. This one from our buddy Big E. Listened to us down in Thibodaux, Louisiana. Had a good week at the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Stock Pond in Homer. 10 catfish, two of which were 26 inches and 6 pounds. Love your show. Miss your conversations with Hokie. You know, nobody misses them more than me, but wow, that's some really good channel catfish, 6-pound catfish. Yeah, those stock ponds, you can find the listing of them. I've fished in them before, and the department puts them in there, and they're full-grown. They're not fingerlings. You don't have to wait. I mean, they bite as soon as they hit the water, and they've got special stocking days, and we try to give you that information when it's available to us. All right, he also likes the fried po' boys, oyster po' boy, with fried onion rings. Keep on with your show. That's our friend, Big E. All right, coming back after this, Captain Ryan Lambert, the Plastic Man, joins us on a Saturday morning to talk about fishing down the tip of the boot. We're talking about Plaquemines Parish in southeast Louisiana. He's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And the Plastic Man joins us this morning, and Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures. And Ryan, you guys do some pretty good gourmet meals down there at the Cajun Fishing Adventures Lodge. What is your favorite way to eat oysters?
Oysters? I think good old-fashioned fried.
Yeah, I'm
on
with
a
you.
Po' boy with pickles and mayonnaise and ketchup and tomatoes, and I'm good to go.
Yes, indeed. I like them fried, real crispy on the outside,
but not overdone.
Almost raw. Yeah, not overdone, not all dried out. Yeah. Well, I tell you, Tommy Satanovich from Drago's, make the char-grilled oysters real famous. He came up with a really good quote, and he said, "The oyster is the single best bite of seafood in Louisiana." One bite.
It's a good one, that's for sure.
Well, you guys experienced a shot in the arm fishing this week like everybody else did, probably from that saltwater influx.
My word. I had to break a boat in yesterday. I left the lodge at 11 o'clock and limited out.
Wow.
That's pretty dang good.
Speaking of breaking
in the middle of the day.
Absolutely. Speaking of breaking in boats, there used to be a process for breaking in new outboard motors. What is the suggested procedure for breaking in boats and motors these days?
Well, they'll want you to take it up to, a lower RPM, idle around first and then for an hour and then put it on top real easy. And then as you start coming up, don't keep it on the same speed. Keep moving the different RPMs around. And then after a few hours, then you can go ahead and open it up. But my boats don't never see opened up unless there's a storm cloud nipping on my little transom.
I gotcha. How many times do y'all change boats down there in the business?
Every year. Every year?
Every year, huh? Yeah, well, that's good.
Right now we just take them to the dealer, park one and grab one and go on back home.
Yeah.
It's a good deal.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. But
maintenance for sure.
Yeah. Well, they get a lot of feedback from you guys because you guys run them hard, put them up wet sometimes,
Yeah, well, some of the guys do.
Especially some of your guys.
I'm so old, I just kind of ease around and look for something to move so I can catch it. But, the aquatic vegetation is starting to come up around, and it's easier to sight fish. The bull reds have come in, so we got the bulls. And, I found yesterday – if you had a cork on, you was catching so many more gaff tops. I think I might have caught one, but I would take a light bait, a small bait, and I'd throw it to where the birds or whatever, the shrimp are just popping everywhere. They small shrimp, 80-100s. But if you kept it on top and twisted through those shrimp, you could watch the redfish the trout come up and eat it, and you wouldn't get the gaff tops. But the cork, oh, my gosh. Gaff top after gaff top after gaff top.
Yeah.
So... That's my MO from now on.
Yeah, well,
if they eat like that, I'm going to take advantage of it.
Yeah, when the trout bite is hot and heavy under birds like that, man, you want to make hay while it's there. You don't want to have to be dealing with those old slimy.
There's so much shrimp in the water, you don't even need birds. You can just watch. And, a lot of people don't know this, but if you put your power poles down in some current, usually the fish and the shrimp and everything will use that as a breakwater, and they will get behind that to break the current. So they start piling up there. So, once you put it down, you create a fishery, especially if they were in the area already. You saw the shrimp jump, just put your poles down and start casting there. And sure enough, everything will come to that area because it's breaking that tide for them.
Good
so
tip.
It's pretty easy, yeah. A lot of people figure that out.
East or west, which would you suggest for this weekend?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
That's what
both ways. I think the trout on the east, if they're under the birds, they're very small. But the rigs towards Breton and that way has some really nice trout on them.
Thumper? Are they thumper quality?
Oh, yeah, they got some thumpers, but you can't keep thumpers anymore. Two of them.
Yeah, well, but, that's another problem. Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably going out that way. But there's a lot of 18, 19, 20-inch trout that you can keep right under 20s. So those are beautiful fish out that way. So it's if you want to take that boat ride, if you don't have the pop-ups, those pop-ups have been pretty strong lately. I see they're all around me right now. I'm doing the professor deal today. I'm taking the 11 LSU students out and teaching them about restoration and that kind of stuff.
Man, you do a lot of that, don't you?
I sure do. In fact, they just talked about last night actually doing a program here and let me teach tons of them.
Wow.
Which I don't mind. The youngest, that mind is the one that needs to be taught.
Yeah, and I'm sure you get a lot of enjoyment in watching their reaction, the surprise, that things going on down there, they had no clue.
And we have a permit for a 50-foot gill net or 100-foot gill net, so they get to set that out and see all the different fish and crabs and stuff that they can catch. So it's cool to watch them do it because none of them have a clue. I mean, not a clue.
Yeah, well, we definitely need people in the future making decisions that do have clues. We don't want the clues.
Yeah, well, they'll have a clue after they learn. That's a good part. You know, teaching them, and they'll have a good clue after they see the how it works.
Exactly. Well, Ryan, somebody wants to get in touch with you, and hey, it's probably not too early to be checking on teal season availability. Tell them how to get you.
Yeah, if you want to come teal hunting, you better call now because this is going to be booked up solid. Yeah, they can go to CajunFishingAdventures.com or call me direct at 504-559-5111. And the fishing's on fire and the business is slow. So you want a fishing trip, it's good right now. And I don't think it's going to go anywhere until the shrimp start. You know, the shrimp season starts. I think we'll have all this bait and they'll be biting it really well until then.
All right. All sounds good. See you next week.
All right, my friends. We'll see you.
All right, Captain Ron Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures. All right, we come back after this. We're going to wrap up with some of your text messages. I'm getting quite a few texts about Maya Angelou, and we'll talk more about her right after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. You know, one of the really nice things about this live radio show is we get to interact with the audience, and we can do it through our in-studio text message board. We get texts throughout the show, and apologize if we don't get to all of your texts, but we appreciate you sending them to 504-260-1870. We're going to close out with a few here. This one says, I'd be remiss if I didn't suggest folks get some oysters and Uncle Larry stew in a few and make his brown gravy oyster spaghetti. Very tasty and hearty. I agree with that. Here's one says, good morning, Mr. Dubuque, spelled as it is in Iowa, which a lot of people do. My husband is still sleeping, and I wake up early on Saturday mornings, pour a cup of coffee, and love listening to all the interesting outdoor topics you talk about on your show. My favorite way to eat oysters is fresh fried out of the fryer in a fully dressed French bread po' boy. Thanks for producing such a great outdoor show. That's from Metri Girl. Thank you, Metri Girl. Appreciate you being there listening. Here's one from the son of a Wego rat. He remembers his memories of bringing in a stringer of Dixie cans, and also he likes that clear oyster soup. Thanks for the years. This one says, Don, you ever checked out the fish advisory about the consumption the Fish and Wildlife puts out every year? Oh, I have. And it can be scary, but you got to remember, and what that deals with is it gives you by water body the possibilities of mercury and other toxin contaminants. You know, things like mercury don't dissolve, and it's what they call bayou accumulative. In other words, if a small fish ingests something with mercury and a bigger fish eats it, it stays in that bigger fish, goes up to the bigger fish, and if a mammal or a bird eats it or a human, the mercury don't go away. And there are recommendations on how many meals of what type of fish you should eat. And I suggest you look at it. It's in the regulations pamphlet. It's on their website. They give reports by water body type. And for the most part, people who have to really be concerned with it, people who have an exclusive seafood diet and people who eat those fish that are on the upper end of the food chain, they live the longest. They have a chance of having mercury is greater in such fish as like catfish and garfish and some of the top of the food chain predators. But it's interesting reading and can be a little bit scary, but mostly their warning is for pregnant women. They would be the most susceptible for that. All right, here's one. What is your opinion of people bow fishing for redfish? Have you ever bow fished? Yes, I have. And that came up on a show I was guest hosting on our flagship station. On guest hosting, I was asked to comment on it doing one of the shows with one of the guest hosts, Tommy Tucker. And next week, we'll put that together because it's a little lengthy to explain, and I'll tell you what my opinion of it is. And I know a lot of people have a lot of opinions about it. All right, let's see. We got this one saying, best way to eat oysters is in a pouldu and oyster gumbo. Yeah, I haven't had that. I've had both. I've had pouldu and oyster gumbo, but the combination, I've had a lot of duck and oyster gumbo. But pouldu, don't see anything would be wrong with that. Here's one. Any idea what's going on in Pontchartrain, approximately 1 mile from the south shore, just west of the causeway, appears to be a dredge boat of some sort. Yeah, I have seen that there. I thought it was doing some type of a cleanup because there's lines with floats going out from around it, and that's something else I'll try to investigate and find out what that's all about because it's been there now for at least a couple of weeks that I've seen it out there. Let's see. You know what I'm getting to? You know, I mentioned that I heard from Nick Saban a quote that I was impressed with where he said, people don't remember what you say. They remember how you made them feel. Well, I'm being told that that was not Nick's original quote, and maybe he gave attribution. You know how I know in the media business they can cut up sound bites and you don't really hear the beginning and the end of things. You hear the middle of it, but I heard it from him. But they tell me that it was originally, it comes from Maya Angelou. And I've got this from several people who are talking about it. And one says she wrote a book, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, and she's highly referenced. Another says she was a female poet. She spoke at Clinton's inaugural address. And evidently she's writing some inspirational and motivational books and lines, and maybe I'll check it out and see. She sounds like a very interesting person. I was totally unaware. I'd never heard the name before. Maya Angelou. All right, let's see. I got more calls for people. I think the fried oysters got to be the number one way where I think people enjoy it. And here's one says they're building a breakwater right off the shore in Metairie. I wonder why that dredges. I guess, are they pumping sediment up there to build it up? I'm not sure what that's all about, but we'll check into it more. But I see it out there, and it's right in the location of where the old milk bottle used to be. If you're familiar with that lit up white bottle that they called the milk bottle, where it was a structure with a shell pad underneath it, and the fishing was pretty good, but it's been torn down and gone for probably a couple decades now. Uncle Larry's loading his van. He's going to have bacon in a few with bacon and eggs and a few in the stew. I'm not sure if that was Uncle Larry or an imposter. Not sure. All right, that's Reed Allaman singing our outgoing theme song, so that means it's time for me to get out of here. But I'll be back again, 5 to 7 a.m. We do this each and every Saturday. Thanks to Cullen Steele working all the buttons back at the mothership, getting us in and out. Thanks to you, our listeners, for your participation in making the show as interesting and entertaining as it is. We'll see you next week with another edition of The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.
Nerds.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.